Welcome back. The mystery of God. Wow. Because this is a very controversial scripture.
Very.
Some read it as mysteries. So please, sir, this Revelation 10:7, this particular scripture we just read out loud, which mystery is the scripture talking about?
Yes, sir.
First, let's get the meaning of mystery.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
So that you'll understand where I will be going.
Mm. All right, sir.
Amen.
Mystery, according to, is an English word.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir.
Anything that is mysterious is a mystery.
Mm.
Anything that is mysterious is anything, according to the English dictionary, that is inscrutable, it's mystical, can't explain it, and it's obscure.
Obscure.
So it's not clear.
Mm.
It refers to that which is not easily comprehended or explained. Anything mysterious is that, that which is mysterious by being unknown or puzzling.
Puzzling. Wow.
It excites curiosity, amazement, and awe.
Puzzling, not easily comprehended, obscure, and so on.
Now, when we say, therefore, the mystery of God, we are talking about an agenda.
An agenda.
Of God. We are talking about a program of God.
Amen.
And this program, God kept it to himself and reveals it to whom he will. And my description of him, using the modern day computer language, I say he is the encoder of that program. Is the encoder of that agenda. And unless he decodes it, you can never know. The encoding of that program makes it mysterious.
Hallelujah.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, and only him can grant you understanding by decoding it. And the language is, the Bible language is giving you, revealing it to you.
Revelation.
So computer says decode. He calls it reveal. And only God can reveal what is in his mind to you, so that you'll understand that why I say it is a program. A program has a beginning and has an end.
Right.
You know, and see when it began, that mystery. First Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6.
Okay. First Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6.
Yes.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
Uh-huh.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Yes.
Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Uh-huh.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Now, I want you to take note. Verse 7 says what?
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
Yes.
Even the hidden wisdom.
Now, you see, the hidden.
Which God ordained before the world.
When did he ordain it?
Before the world.
When did he ordain it?
Before the world.
Now, in Revelation chapter 10.
Where we read.
Yes, sir.
What did he say?
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound,
the mystery of God should be finished.
As I declared to the servant of the prophet.
So if it will finish,
must have a beginning.
It must have a beginning.
It started before the world began. Unto our glory.
Whatever it unto our glory, but the important is when did it start?
So, sir, is it the same mystery in Revelation 10:7 that we have seen?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It is the same mystery. And it is the same mystery you see in Colossians chapter 2,
Colossians
verse 2.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Study has begun. Colossians 2,
verse 2. It's a Bible study, yes.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God.
To the acknowledgement of what?
The mystery of God.
The mystery of God.
And of the Father and of Christ.
Now, if you go to chapter 4 of the same Colossians,
Chapter 4, verse 3.
Yes.
Without praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond.
To speak what?
The mystery of Christ.
The mystery of Christ. Now, this time now, he calls it the mystery
of Christ.
Of Christ. Mm. Why did he call the mystery of Christ? Because Christ is the center of this mystery.
Mm. Okay, sir.
Okay.
Let me force you a little. You mean that God, look, watch me, sir. God has a program,
yes.
An agenda.
Yes.
Okay, that's the mystery.
Yes.
And he's the only one that knows this thing.
Yes.
He hid it from the eyes
of people. He hid it, yes.
And he's the only one that can reveal it.
Thank you.
Okay, so if I should give you this program in my hand, I'm revealing it to you.
Yeah. If you let me see the program, you are revealing it to me by granting me understanding.
Okay. And then this program has a beginning.
It has a beginning.
Mm. And the beginning is from before the world,
because that is who God is. Acts chapter 15, read it.
Hallelujah.
That is who he is.
It's getting simpler now. Acts 15 verse what, sir?
Verse 18.
That's right.
Known unto God are all his works.
Eh? When?
All his works.
From when?
Oh my God. Oh. From the beginning of the world.
Okay.
Amen.
So God doesn't just start something new that he doesn't know before the world.
No, he has already concluded the world, whatever that agenda is already settled.
Sir, the way you teach work. Salvation.
I've not finished.
Okay.
Allow me to finish.
Finish, sir.
Go again to 1 Peter chapter 1. Even in our call, in our election.
1 Peter chapter
1. When did he elect us?
Verse what, sir?
Verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2.
Okay. Elects according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
You see? Because known unto God.
All his
works. From when?
The foundation.
From the God. There are people that he has elected.
Amen.
He didn't elect you the day your mama came and dedicated you at the altar. Amen. Or the day he gave you the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. True.
And if you go to Ephesians chapter 1,
amen.
Verse 3 and verse 4.
Ephesians 1, 3 and 4.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Even before you read that, because we're talking about foreknowledge
that's
now.
Right.
Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 21.
Amen. Romans 8, 21.
Because when we talk about salvation, there are people that look at salvation as if God is a gambling.
Romans,
as if God is
doesn't know what
he's doing.
He's not sure. He's not sure because he makes a statement like I regret creating man. Mm. I regret creating man. So it makes him look like a man. Mm. But the Bible tells me God is not a man.
Amen.
It's God. It's not a man.
Amen.
Okay. Romans 8:29.
Yes, what does it say?
Whom
he did foreknow.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
So you see now? You see
Foreknowledge. Hallelujah.
Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. The same thing in Ephesians chapter 1 where you wanted to read.
Okay, Ephesians 1, 3 and 4.
Yes.
Mm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ,
yes.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen.
So we are chosen before the foundation of the world.
And that is the mystery.
Oh, my God.
How did he choose us before before you were ever formed.
My God.
That is what that mystery is all about. Mm. Apostle Paul again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26.
Oh my.
You know, calls it mystery.
My. That's right.
Colossians.
That is the mystery.
Amen.
Yes. 1:26.
Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations.
It has been hid from
ages and from generations. But now it's made manifest to his saints.
Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And in Romans chapter 16.
Romans 16.
I think verse 25 or so.
Romans
you see it there.
Okay. Romans chapter 16 verse 25.
Yes.
And it reads, now to him that is of power to us, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
Hey.
Ew.
So you see the mystery again? Kept secret. Read that verse again.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
According to his gospel.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ.
According to the revelation of the
ministry. Because the gospel is preaching. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is according to that mystery.
Amen.
That is, it's part of that program. It's part of that agenda. That's the way he's putting it there. Now, if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
My God.
Wow.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2,
yes, sir,
and verse 13 and verse 14.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13,
yes,
and 14.
Yes.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, yes, brethren, beloved of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Because God has from the beginning.
From when?
The beginning.
Beginning.
At which, what is that beginning? What is the date for that beginning? The
beginning of foundation of the world.
Before the world began. That is where the beginning was.
Amen.
Okay, now. The beginning of that agenda. And he alone knows. Go ahead.
From the beginning, choosing you to salvation,
uh-huh,
through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth,
uh-huh,
whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Because this obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is part of that agenda.
Hallelujah.
It's part of that mystery.
Wow.
And when we, if you have to catch this, therefore, and if you're listening to me, I think somebody from Jos, our brother Pastor Gizo, Gizo from Bride Church in Jos. I think I saw in what the questions that you sent, one of the questions you sent, but we've not been able to answer it. You are asking, can somebody's name be removed from the book of life? Now, before you answer that, you know, have this at the back as the foundation of your knowledge of who God is. Now, if God knows his works from
the foundation of the,
foundation of the world, from the beginning, he knows the end from the beginning. And now, we are now saying that the Bible says, we are elected according to his foreknowledge. We are predestinated according to his foreknowledge. Now, first, you will now know that he's not gambling. So there's nothing like he mistakenly put your name there so that when you misbehave, you will remove it there. So that you will understand this. This is the foundation. You know, you go to that, you see the language put there in Revelation chapter 13.
Amen.
And verse 8.
13 verse 8.
Yes.
Okay. Amen. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Now, go to chapter 17, verse 8.
That's true.
Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world.
Now, I want you to note, there are two things here. Now, Revelation 17:8 is different from Revelation 13:8.
Yes,
now, watch it. The Revelation 17:8 is talking the those who will not, not wonder.
Yes, sir.
Are those whose names are written
from the foundation of the world.
From the foundation of the world.
The
world.
In the Lamb's book of life.
In the Lamb's book of life.
That's right, sir.
So there is a book of life with names that are written from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So now you have to understand it. Therefore, anybody preaching the gospel, a mass altar call, and we see many of these denominational people doing, they now call you out and begin to say after me. And then they are praying prayer of salvation for you, and they are asking the Father to write your name in the book of life. You know that they are praying on scriptural prayer.
Very clear, sir.
Very clear.
Because if you understand this, it is only those whose names are written in the book of life that will be saved. Okay?
Amen.
Now, but the Bible says, for God so loved the world, whosoever believes, you see, but he added to the church
daily
such as should be saved.
Amen.
And those who are ordained to life believed. I'm quoting scriptures. Now, you have to, you know, you have to. That is why I say my ministry is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So that you listening to me now, I have a ministry.
Okay.
I have a ministry. And my ministry is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8.
Okay, and it reads, so they read in the book in the law.
Who are they? The fivefold ministry.
Yes,
the fivefold ministry. The teacher there. The teaching ministry there. What does it say?
So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly.
Yes.
And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
They gave the sense. Understanding. The wisdom.
That's right.
And what?
Caused them to understand the reading.
And caused them to understand the reading.
The reading.
Now, are we not reading Revelation 10, 7? What is the understanding there?
Yeah,
that there is a book that is written from the foundation of the world.
Hallelujah.
Now, imagine now, go to chapter 13, verse 8. Read it now. You will see a little difference
and
there.
All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Yes.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb.
So who owns that book?
The Lamb.
The Lamb. Slain.
The Lamb slain.
Now, when was the Lamb slain?
From the foundation of the world.
The Lamb was already slain from the foundation of the world. The works of God are already finished.
My God.
Oh, let somebody understand what we are talking about.
Amen.
This
Amen.
God.
Wow.
God is not doing anything new. There is nothing going on that is new. He has already set the agenda, and at the appropriate time, there is a manifestation, and fulfillment. And that's why, you know, sometimes we see ourselves, especially when the end time message, we're here fighting. Revelation 10:7 is William Branham. Malachi 4:5 is William Branham. This one is this one. It does not alter one bit the program of God, no matter what argument you people are making. At the appropriate time, he moves on. It doesn't alter one thing at all. It's just you can see verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There is something there.
1 Corinthians 2:16.
Yes. Verse 15 and verse 16.
Okay, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things.
Yes.
Yet he himself is judge of no man.
Now, verse 16.
For who had known the mind of the
Who is he that knows the mind?
Then
who
instructs him.
Uh-huh.
But we have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah.
If you have the mind of Christ, then you will know all things.
Hallelujah.
By the Spirit that dwelleth in us.
Amen.
Now, this is very important,
yes,
you know, that you catch it. That even Christ was slain from the foundation of the world.
Not in AD 33.
But when did he manifest?
AD 33.
But before God. So when they were killing him, God was saying, hey, you're killing my son. Hey, you're killing my son.
No. He planned it that way.
Have you ever imagined that if God were in a stadium and he's watching a football match?
Wow.
You will not be taken by surprise.
Why they say, hey, will God be? Because he already know the scores before the match began.
So, sir,
he has the result before the match because he knows all things. So also in the program of redemption, Judas betrayed Christ, and God is angry. Imagine what you have done. The serpent betrayed God. I'm angry because you spoil my program. Wickedness have filled the whole earth. I regret creating man. I will wipe the whole world. He has wiped them from the foundation of the world. He has already regretted creating man from the foundation of the world. He already knew because Judas was selected to fulfill that because Christ said, it is what he shows me that I do. He showed him Peter, make him your disciple. He showed him Judas also, make him, showed him, all of them.
He's
the one that showed, make him your disciple. Didn't he know that he would betray him?
Mm-hmm.
He knew, and that is where the mystery is. And that is where now, you will now understand John chapter 1.
Okay.
Read it from verse 1.
Okay. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1 from verse 1.
Yes.
All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
My God.
And the Word was God.
Eh? Again.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now, so the first thing now is the beginning. Which beginning? Beginning of this mystery.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The beginning of this mystery.
That's right.
Was what?
Was the Word.
Now catch it, Christians, I'm all over it. The world. Watch it.
I'm catching it.
When you say the Word, a lot of people begin to say, as you are hearing me now, that Word, that Word, you know, you say is Christ. And I see them battling, trying to fix it, trying to fix it like the denominations try to make three persons become one. When you see them struggling in the Godhead, they know it's one, but three they must fix it in. Now, the same thing also, since Christ is the Word of God, according to what we're reading by the interpretation, so Christ is the Word. Therefore, the Word of God here is Christ. Everywhere here is Christ, the Word. So the word. So there is a spoken word. When you see them, you know, swimming in that confusion, those of us who have the mind of Christ, and God has revealed this to us, you just know you can't build anything on that foundation.
Wow.
Now, because go back.
That's right.
It is in the beginning was a thought. That logos there is a thought. Remember that what is the word? A word is a thought expressed.
That's right.
Okay? So, in the beginning was the thought. And please, the thought is not what became the flesh. So we go and say, and the angel spoke. The Spirit of God will overshadow you, and that which is there, and then you bring forth a son by the word. Until they even go to quote what William Branham said, that originally God meant creation to be by spoken word. Adam will have spoken to Eve, and she will have taken him. Then why did God make the
sexual organs?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, he didn't make the sexual organs after they fell. It was the day he was creating them. Maybe in preparation for the fall. I don't understand. You know, it just doesn't make sense. Now, Brother Moses, are you saying Brother Abraham is wrong? I'm teaching Bible, please stop comparing with what William Branham said. I am saying when you listen to William Branham, take heed to what you hear. You know, if not, there's a way you will hear some things and take off. You know, that's why I very much want to believe with what Raymond Jackson one time said, that he believes that God allowed William Branham to make some of those statements because there were two vines that were following him. So that they would make them go off and allow the wheat to fall down to the threshing floor, the word of God.
Amen.
They were chaff that are blown over at such wind of such doctrines. Now, listen. In the beginning was the word. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And the thought, in the beginning was the thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. This is where the confusion comes in. And the thought was God. Listen. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
The same thought was in the beginning. Because you have to be beginning. There are many beginnings with God. But there is a beginning that nobody knows. Only him knows.
That's the beginning
of his existence. Because he has no end of this. There is no beginning of this.
That's right.
But there is the beginning. Everything that exists had a beginning. This earth has a beginning. Amen. And this earth did not begin with the creation of man.
That's right.
Okay, so we know that.
Yes,
you know, there is a difference. That there is the beginning of Genesis 1 verse 1. Only God knows when that beginning was. Because we are seeing animal fossils.
That's right.
That are millions of years old. So only God knows how old this earth has been existing. And by verse 2, we get to know that something happened
the earth will start forming.
God cannot create a formless thing.
That's right.
You know. So there was something that happened. This earth was judged.
Amen.
And we believe that.
Amen.
And now you hear scriptures like, you know, be fruitful and replenish. That means something was there before, it's no more now.
Refill it.
Replenish. So all this, you know, it's just part of this greater mystery. Now we come to verse 3. All things were made by him. That is. Now I'm going to break it down. So this is it now. Let's go back to verse 1. Let me break it down.
Amen.
So that you flow.
All right, sir.
Now, in the beginning was a thought.
Okay.
And that thought was with God. It's a thought. And the word was God. That means he alone, because God does not counsel with anybody for anything he wants to do.
Thought was God.
He counsels with himself.
I hear you, man of God.
God counsels with himself because there is no wiser than him. That's what Apostle Paul made us to know.
That's true.
That you could not even, you swear by a greater. But since there is no one greater than him, he took his covenant with Abraham.
That's right.
He swore by who?
By himself.
By himself, because there is no greater than him. So he had to swear by himself. So that is what that is referring to. Now he said the same was in the beginning with God. That thought. Now all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That thought is the reason for the manifestation of all things that you see now.
Wonderful.
In that thought was life. And the life was the light of men. That thought produced that life.
Hallelujah.
And that life was the light of men.
Amen and amen.
And that light that thought produced,
hallelujah,
shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then he spoke of John, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness.
Of delight.
To bear witness of the light that came as a result of that thought.
Amen.
That all men through that light might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Amen.
That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world.
My God.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Why? Because that, remember, remember in verse 1, he said, and the word was God. And he came, the mystery, he came as Emmanuel. Who was Emmanuel?
God with us.
God with us. So, who was the light?
God himself.
God himself was the light.
That's right.
And he's saying that, He said, in verse 10.
Verse 10.
He said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him.
By him, that's right.
Who created the world?
God.
It's not Jesus that created the world. Oh, glory be to God.
Say it again, man of God.
It was Emmanuel.
Amen.
That created the world.
Amen.
Okay? So that you will know that he's breaking it down to know that thought that it came and became light. He was God himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Now he came unto his own because he said the only inheritance he has on earth is who?
Israel.
Is Israel. And he all received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And what is the power that makes you to become a son of God?
The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
The power that converts a sinner
to a saint.
Hallelujah. And these are which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Because even your conversion is a process by God himself.
Amen.
Therefore, no man can pronounce you born again.
Amen.
You can't even pronounce yourself born again. I'm reading up.
Amen.
And the word was made flesh. That word, that in the beginning was with God.
Flesh. That's right.
And that word was made flesh. That word that created all things was made by him. He said, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And who did we call him to be? How did we know him? We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father,
full of grace.
Because in verse 17 of that same chapter 1, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If I end in verse 14, I mean, it is, you know, clear.
That's true.
That word became flesh. And then you will now understand First Timothy chapter 3 verse 16.
It's no argument.
Okay, 1 Timothy 3:16.
Yes.
And without controversy.
Mm-hmm. Without argument.
Mm. Great is the mystery of God.
Can you see the mystery of God there?
Mystery.
God was manifest in the flesh.
Can you see now? Who was it?
God.
That became flesh in the womb of that woman?
God.
God. God was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was
with God.
And the Word was
God.
God.
Amen.
So the Word that became flesh there was God in the womb of a woman. And that itself is a mystery.
Mm.
Go on.
Justified in the spirit.
He was justified in the spirit.
Sin of angels.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
Believed on in the world.
Okay.
Received up into glory.
So listen now. Catch this now. So we are saying here in the beginning, this is where the mystery started
from. Sir.
The mystery that will be rounding up at the sounding of
the seventh angel,
the voice of the seventh angel. It will be rounding up. Revelation 10:7 is spoken to be rounding up at the sounding of the voice of the seventh angel began here in the beginning. So that is why I said it is a divine agenda. Now, it is not just a divine agenda. I've spoken that in several of my sermons before. I said, for you to understand this mystery of God, I want you to look at movie production.
Wow.
Now, producing a movie,
yes, sir.
First and foremost, the idea is in the mind of someone, correct?
Amen. True, sir.
A script is written.
Hmm.
The picture is already concluded.
That's right.
Mm.
What he wants to achieve. And so, that is what we see God doing. God decided that he will manifest some of his attributes.
That
is the whole purpose of this thing going on. Mystery going on. It is for God
to manifest
his attributes. And God has many attributes.
Amen.
Many. God is a savior.
Amen.
His characteristics.
His attributes. His characteristics.
Okay.
I think it should be attributes. I think it would be more fitting to use the word attributes.
Okay, sir.
You know, he's a savior. He's a warrior. He's a consuming fire. He's a father.
Amen.
It's a father.
That's true, sir.
It's merciful.
Amen.
It's a God.
It's merciful. It's a judge.
Hallelujah.
It's a God.
And it's already God. It's even a God.
Amen.
Yeah, it's even a God.
That's right.
Yes. But I don't want to go too far. You are taking me too far. You are taking me too far. Let me just limit it to this other agenda here. You know, because even that attribute has to be, you know, manifested.
Displayed. That's true.
Displayed. So we have, and many others. It's a miracle working. God is Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
You know, and he's omniscient. You know, he can do and undo.
Omnipotent.
You know, he can take a beggar and make him a king.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen.
And he has to attribute, display all these attributes. So, to enable him to display some of these attributes, God now decided, let me use a 7,000-year period. This script, this film we play
will be acted.
Will be acted for 7,000 years. So here you see, he is like the film director, the film producer, the script writer is written, and only him knows what he wants to produce.
It's a mystery to others.
It's a mystery to others.
Yes, sir.
That is why he becomes the director. Because he knows what he wants. He has the picture.
Oh my God.
So,
wow.
And that is exactly what God himself did. Now, the first thing is, this is the script.
Okay.
We are able to know it now because we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
As you read it.
And it is only in this age that the whole picture is coming up. Why? Because like Daniel, we're able to read the handwriting on the wall.
Hallelujah.
That lets us know the end of that program is at hand.
Amen.
And more so, he lets us know again when that program will end, will be at the sounding of the seventh angel trumpet.
It's true.
Again, but we know that before it takes place, there's a period, an agenda that he created and put a key somewhere in the book of Daniel. And all these things are there for us to see by the Issachar anointing.
Hallelujah. Wow. So,
and by that special anointing that is given to the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
I'm talking of the true fivefold ministry.
Hallelujah.
And not the title collecting
fivefold. So God has a script. God, firstly, he has the picture in his mind.
He had the picture in his mind. Now let me give the picture.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Go on, sir.
Don't be distracted.
Okay.
Because you are the one that put me on the hot seat and begin to ask me questions. Imagine you wanted to finish me. You are asking me, am I correcting the prophet? How will you ask me? You want these people to kill me?
It's just a question.
You should not ask some questions. Well, you know it will put me in trouble.
Amen.
Now, this is it here. On a more serious note. Now, this mystery of God began from a thought.
Wonderful.
I want to display some of these attributes. I am a father, but all the angels, they are not having father-son relationship with me. The way he created the angels is not the way he created
man.
So, and the angels are his servants.
That's right.
But not son. So, because the Bible lets us know that Adam is son of God.
Amen.
Okay. I didn't see any angel written as the son of God.
That's true.
Although, when you come to Job chapter 38, you will notice he said, when the sons of God we are clapping, but we know it's that sons of God there is talking of the angelic family. You know, being a family and he's the head of the family, calling that, but never God referring to an angel. Angel is servant. Angel. No.
Truth.
Okay, we understand that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know, anything beyond that, you're creating confusion. Now, he then created Adam and gave him a wife for the purpose of procreation and companionship. You know, the man would be alone with animals. So, at the cool of the evening, he will come. They will have fellowship, peace, and everywhere. But there's another attribute he needed to display. That he's a savior. And before he can save, something precious
must be lost.
That was why in that script he created serpent. Who he knew is the enemy. Satan will come. He's not the one that sent him there. Because he already knows anything he does, Satan will come there. He permitted it, and it happened exactly for man to fall. So the agenda now begins proper. Now he's separated from his two children, Adam and Eve.
Yes, sir.
No more fellowship as he used to have, and that fellowship will only be restored back again after the rapture. We are having the fellowship now with him in the spirit in Jesus' name, but we are locked up in this
prison
called the flesh.
That's right.
So he's still separated from us. So man since then has been looking for a way to get back to that fellowship. That is what produced all the religions.
Wow.
It's their attempt to reach the creator that they know he exists somewhere, but sin, what happened in the Garden of Eden, separated him from his creature, man. And very soon, that will be sorted out. That is what has given rise. Now see another, to all these religions, see another mystery. Then Christ comes in, because he's God. It is God that came to show you the way.
Amen.
On how you come back again to me.
Amen.
And Christ will say, I am the way,
Amen. The
truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father except by me. But there is a law of redemption. That is why we have the word redeem. You don't talk of redeem. until the thing is originally yours. And you lost it.
Okay.
Now losing it is what
necessitates redeem.
Necessitates you, you know, to get it back. Mm-hmm. The process of getting it back is called redemption or redeem.
Amen.
Now God Himself, from the thought, saw that man will fall.
Knew.
He knew.
He planned it that way.
If man falls, the soul that sinned shall die. Hell was created for Satan and for all disobedient people. But I see this, the whole human creature heading to go to hell. But among those, in his foreknowledge again, he sees two groups of people there. There are some that no matter how he offers salvation. Show them the way. Come back, come back, come back. They will not repent. Like Cain. They will not repent. He saw the second group. That if he reveal himself to them and show them the way, they will repent and come back to him. And then mercy was projected. Another attribute of God. And he says, that is why in the beginning was the word. The thought of how he will now save this group of people. That thought is what produced Christ. That's why Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. The provision for him to go to the cross was already provided for in that script that is in the mind of God.
Hallelujah.
That is what made him to start the process of redemption. And it began immediately. He announced this program. That is the interesting thing. He announced this program. Immediately man fell. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 14.
Yeah. And the Lord God said unto the serpent.
No, because he faced the serpent first.
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thou shalt thou eat all the days of the life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman.
Now verse 15, what does it say?
And I'll put enmity between thee
between
and
who?
The serpent and the woman.
And the woman.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
And between thy seed and her seed.
Between thy seed.
The serpent's seed.
And
her seed.
And the woman's seed.
Amen. Uh-huh. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel.
That is where the agenda began. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 announced the redemption of mankind. Everything is there in that
Okay, but the agenda began from the foundation of the world.
The script was from the foundation of the world.
Okay, that's the script was
from the foundation of the world.
Okay.
But now the action.
Okay.
The acting, the actors
at one
began to be put in place. The actors from the beginning are the serpent, Adam, and the Eve. These are the first character, scene one, act one.
That's right.
Of this drama.
Adam and the woman.
That is, they are the first characters. Man fell. Therefore, the solution for that fall was in the seed of the woman. But there's going to be a battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the mystery as we know today, that seed. And I've explained that before.
Sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. You know, he put that. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of my point. But you will see as we go along that the seed of the woman, that woman is not Mary. Now, we've always explained it as a seed of the woman because it is not a man.
Virgin birth.
It's because of virgin birth. And virgin conception. And that it was not a man that fathered him. That's not what makes him the woman. Mary was only a type of the woman spoken of in Genesis 3:15. That woman there is Israel. Let's see it. Revelation chapter 12.
Definitely. Hallelujah.
Certainly, we cannot finish this today.
Revelation 12.
My God.
And verse what, sir?
Now, if we read it, there's a mystery woman there. That's a mystery.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven.
Yes.
A woman clothed with the sun,
yes,
and the moon under her feet,
uh-huh,
and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
Uh-huh.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered.
Uh-huh.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head.
Uh-huh. So I want you to note that the description of that woman, everybody can see here that it's Israel.
Yes, sir. 12 stars.
Now she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know there are 3 symbolic women in the Bible.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 12 is
Israel.
A woman here. Yes, this is Israel.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 17 described as a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that they call it mystery, call it Babylon. It is the Roman Catholic.
Catholicism,
you know, it's a church.
Mm.
It is also a church, and church is a woman.
Amen.
And then we go to Revelation chapter 19. It's called the bride.
Hallelujah.
And that is also a church.
Yes,
you know, when I say church, universal church of Christ.
Amen.
So, and now this, another woman now.
Mm.
Now, verse 2, that woman, we say, is Israel.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Eh? Again, from verse 1. I'm just for emphasis.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
A woman clothed with the sun,
mm-hmm,
and the moon under her feet,
mm-hmm,
and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
So you know that it's Israel.
Yes.
Now, note verse 2.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered.
So she has a child.
Mm.
Eh?
Amen.
That child is the seed of the woman.
And her father was not even mentioned.
And there's no father mentioned here.
Amen.
There's no father that.
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
Okay. So that you understand here, and then verse 5.
And she brought forth a man child.
Who
was ruler of nations.
All nations. Who is he referring to?
The Lord Jesus
Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened?
And a child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
Is he not there now?
Amen.
Is he not there now?
Amen.
And you notice that in verse 4, that dragon.
And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven.
That is the history of that dragon.
And did cast them to the earth.
Uh-huh.
And the dragon stood before the woman.
Now, that dragon stood before the woman.
Which was ready to be delivered.
To be delivered.
To devour a child as soon as it was born.
Because he knows the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3.
Verse 15.
He has been looking for that woman.
Mm.
And he knows the woman is Israel.
Mm.
Did he go after Mary?
At all.
When Mary was pregnant, did he go after Mary?
Mm.
He didn't go after me.
After
he knew. He knows who the woman was.
Mm.
So that you have to, you know, catch this. And that if the woman has a seed of the woman.
Yes, sir.
And serpent also has a seed. Then, if the seed of the woman is Christ, then the seed of the serpent is Antichrist.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
And that is exactly what we see at play. He said, the seed of the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But the seed of the woman will bruise his head.
That's right. Amen.
There will be contention.
Mm.
Christ and his Antichrist, his enemies.
Mm.
And at the end of it all, we see that agenda, you know, how it closes as you go to Revelation chapter 20 and other chapters.
Yes,
you see how Christ eventually finishes
the agenda.
With the agenda, finishing with that Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of perdition, referred to in the Bible, that is nothing but the full manifestation. In fact, the Satan incarnate.
Mm.
Just as Christ is God
incarnate,
he's also Satan incarnate, displaying the wickedness of who his father is. You know, and then that. It's part of the mystery.
Amen.
And then it ends with the rapture of the church first. Then judgment comes on the earth when that Christ and his seed come down to rule the earth. This Christ is therefore, you will understand something here. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6.
Amen. Isaiah 9, 6. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
For unto us a child is born,
yes,
and unto us a son is given,
yes,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
What? That is authority.
Mm-hmm.
He will have authority.
Mm-hmm. And his name shall be called Wonderful,
What will his name be called?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Counselor.
Counselor.
The mighty God.
The mighty God.
The everlasting Father.
The everlasting Father.
The Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. He says, for unto himself, see the authority shall be upon his shoulder. This will be his identity. When was he called Wonderful? When he was performing all the miracles.
Amen.
What manner of man is this?
Wonder.
Counselor, so that you will know that, remember, he is the wisdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, and he's talking of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So, what is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Okay. The mighty God.
Mighty God.
Because he was Emmanuel.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Then the everlasting Father. Now, we'll hang it there. Go to the next one. What is it now?
Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. Because he comes to rule on earth here.
Jesus
Christ gives the earth and all its creatures peace. Now, the everlasting Father here.
Yes, sir.
Now, he's not talking about the Almighty God. Because if Adam were alive now, what would we be calling him?
Papa Adam.
Because we all came out from him. We all were offshoot of him.
That's right.
But the offshoot of him all died. It necessitated a last Adam.
Hallelujah.
So, we are all born again by the seed from our Father. This time, it's a spiritual seed.
Amen.
Except you are born again because
the last Father. Hallelujah.
And that is why the Bible refers to Christ as the first begotten
from among the dead. Amen.
So then he now comes and then he now brings the rest of us back to life. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, sir.
Yes. And from verse 25. That is the conclusion of the agenda.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
Yes.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yes.
For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted.
There is one, some authority that put things under him is not among.
Which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God will be all in all.
So when he has submitted everything to the Father, that God will be all in all, then what is the position of the Son then?
Everlasting Father.
He becomes the everlasting Father because he is our Father by his seed.
We are born again.
We were born into the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That concludes it.
Okay, wow.
I think I'll leave you to ask your questions.
All right, sir.
Once I say the script to be written, then you now understand that every story in the Bible is the script at play.
Wow. 7 years.
And this includes even the cleansing of the earth with Noah's flood. Yes. There's a script to when the world was, polluted for him to. The same way he is saving man, the same way he's saving this earth. We have three works of grace.
Yes, sir.
What's the first one?
Justification.
And how do you do that? Water baptism ordinance. Then what?
Sanctification.
With what?
The word.
The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us. Correct?
Amen.
Then, what's the other one? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Correct?
Amen.
And then you are sealed. That's all. That's all. Because that's eternity.
Amen.
Now, the same thing, this earth, the process of rearranging this earth again came first by what?
The flood of Noah.
The flood of Noah baptized this earth.
Amen. That's right.
And then about 2,000 years later, this earth now, it has to be redeemed. That is the process of redemption. And it was through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember that this earth was cursed.
Amen.
In Genesis.
That's
it was cursed.
That's right.
And for this earth to be free from that curse, it hung on the cross. And when his blood touched the earth, there was earthquake.
Hallelujah.
That was when this earth was cleansed.
Amen.
Was sanctified.
Amen.
By his blood.
Amen.
Then there's going to be a fire.
Hallelujah.
First Peter chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
2 Peter chapter 3, right. Verse 10. What does it say?
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
That is when you receive the baptism of fire. And remember that John gave that prophecy. Verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And I read, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear.
Go on.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
He baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
And with fire.
And with fire. When did he baptize us with the Holy Ghost? The on the day of Pentecost. And the baptism is still going on now.
Amen.
And that day is called what? The day of redemption.
Amen.
We are still in that day now.
Amen.
And then, according to verse 2 of Isaiah 61, you know, and Luke chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you discover that he said, and the day of
vengeance.
And Malachi call it the dreadful day of the Lord. It is called the day of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he comes and shakes this earth, you know, with his fire.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow.
But it's all part of that script that he wrote, and they are fulfilling it. And all the stories in the Old Testament, they are all shadows. Shadows of the agenda, making the agenda clearer and clearer. Before he comes to the real thing, he would do one small shadow, small behind the scene work. It's part of the script. For instance, you wonder why he will allow the parents of Cain and Abel. Now, they were speaking of something. The parents of Cain and Abel, the first two children on earth.
Yes, sir.
You know, they are, we see that they are the same mother, but different fathers.
Amen.
And it's talking about the church, because the same field, the wheat are planted.
Yes, sir.
The enemy plants tares also.
Same field,
but two different planters. Okay, Adam and the serpent. Now you come again and you see Isaac and Ishmael, because it is part of the program of God. You know, here you see the same father, the different mothers.
That's right.
Same father.
But different mothers.
Different mothers.
It's all a type of the Church of Jesus Christ. Then we come again now, this one now. The same father, the same mother. It's a type of the church.
Esau and Jacob.
The two different carnal and the spiritual Christians, all of them there. They are all type of the church. He was speaking of what was coming ahead.
Amen.
You know, and all the stories in the Old Testament, the story of Lot, you know, coming, being brought out of
Sodom.
You know, now all this nobody will have known unless he decoded it for us.
God didn't decode
that. It's a type of the rapture that will take place. You remember that, you know, those two angels.
Yes, sir.
Those two angels that come to Sodom.
To Sodom, okay.
They come to Sodom, two of them. Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They come there, and remember that Abraham was already settled with God.
Amen.
Having his fellowship with God.
Amen.
And Abraham is type of the elect.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right?
Amen.
Type of the bride, I mean to say.
Amen.
Now who is Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah? Who is Lot? I say Lot is Israel.
Amen.
And are those two angels that went there are Moses and Elijah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then they live, and then judgment, you know, comes upon them. The story of Joseph, the story of Christ in a time. We all know that. Rejected by his brothers, but, you know, accepted by
his
brothers. Marries a wife there, and then they already gone in the rapture.
Amen.
At the palace before he reveals himself to his brethren.
Israel.
The story of Ruth is the story of redemption.
Amen.
Peace man, redeemer. The story of Esther is the story of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
The church, you know, worthless Gentiles, become the queen.
Hallelujah.
And Vashti, a type of Israel, and that is rejected. Hallelujah. And the story of Moses, the story of Christ. The story of Joshua, a type of the Holy Ghost. The story of Daniel, the three Hebrew children, all. And the story of Solomon, all. And all the prophecies also of the Old Testament, they kept prophesying of the coming of grace. Period of grace. Isaiah prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied. Paul prophesied. Enoch prophesied. John prophesied. Christ himself prophesied in various parables and all the rest. Even the building of the temple of Solomon was talking about the seven church ages.
Hallelujah.
In 7 years with materials from all over the world. Mm. And as a building of the church of Jesus Christ. And when he was going to select his natural church, he chose 12 men.
Apostles.
12 men to form the nation of Israel.
Amen.
And when it comes to the spiritual nation of spiritual Israel, and then he also chose 12 disciples.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we believe they are the 24 elders.
Amen.
Before
Amen.
The throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
And then he allowed Israel to go into captivity, into slavery. For how long? 430 years. Mm. It's a type of the church talking about how it will enter the dark ages. Mm. And then the process of restoration.
Amen.
You know, how you then bring them out it's just a type of the church and the restoration of the church.
Amen.
And how in time of restoration, you will notice that they pass through the Red Sea. Egypt is also a type of the world because there are different types there. Type of the world and how you bring your children, predestinated seed, out of the world. The first thing they do is they pass through the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
They start the journey in the wilderness before they now reach the promised land. And that is what you go through, water baptism, and then you go on, continue the journey. But when they left Egypt, they were mixed multitude.
That's the type of what we have today.
That's the type of what we have. The Church of Jesus Christ is also a mixed multitude. You see, so you have to, catch this picture. It is a movie called The Mystery of God. Okay. This agenda was given to Daniel.
Okay, sir. Let me pause you there a little, sir. Because you've been saying a lot of things.
I have to. Are you the one that I should say?
Yes, in fact, you've caught us off guard today.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we have a movie. And we've established the fact that there's a script. And he wrote this script before the foundation of the world. And then it was the movie started, the movie of redemption, which is that agenda.
Sure.
Started in Genesis 3:15.
Sure.
And should be rounding off with the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Of the seventh angel.
And then we asked you about the scripture, Revelation 10:7. We said that the same scripture in Colossians 2, in Colossians 4.
Exactly.
The same mystery. The same mystery. And this mystery is for the redemption of mankind.
There's nothing but the redemption of mankind and also the restoration of the earth.
Okay.
Back to what it was in the Garden of
Eden. Okay. And you said also, there was a statement you made that I jotted down. You said, this mystery is also to display God's action.
Oh, that is it. That's nothing more, because can you wrestle with your maker? He's the potter, we are the clay. Can you, Almighty God, human being, wrestle with who? Almighty Creator.
Okay.
So it is all Him doing it. For the scripture, all things were created and for His pleasure.
Yes, Revelation 4.
Because He is sovereign, He created everything. For His purpose, he said, we are even called according to His purpose.
Okay,
that purpose is according to the script He has written.
Okay, when we come back on this break, you are going to answer the place of the perfect will. You know, because some might be wondering, you mean God just picked the serpent? Did He have a will? Or did He just do?
Did He just do it?
Did He just do it that way? And where did Satan come in this whole script of God? So we'll take a short break and we'll come back We're going to make it tougher for the pastor. So please pray for it. We'll be right back.